And it was during impartation I received something. Impartation is when when Randy Clark and the team pass on to you what they've, the gifts and the healing and all that they carry. And he did that because there was something that I'd been seeking God for, and that was the creative miracles. And I saw God do that. But not only that, you know, all three blind eyes that I saw open were all from words of knowledge. Randy would get his team up against the stage and he'd come around with the microphone and shove it in your mouth. And you basically had to speak out what you were feeling. And I was getting a shadow in the left eye on one of the mornings. Now, those that you know, I went blind 4 years ago in 2015. It was a terrible time for me and my family. And that's why I have victory in that area with eyes, because I lost my sight. And I was saying to God, no, not again, because it's the same sort of shadow I was seeing. But what it was, It was an imprint in my mind. I even used to get imprints in certain parts of my body where I was getting them in my knees, I was getting them in my stomach, and everything that I saw and felt in my body, pain and all this, I spoke it out as words of knowledge, and I was spot on every time. And I spoke it out, I just says, yeah, blind in the left eye. And two people came forward. Now, they have to come back, come to the person that speaks that out. Both were healed. One cataract, and both couldn't see in the left eye. One was a cataract, you could see the white line, like a pinkish salmony colour round about the eye. And every time I prayed, you could see the line receding back to the eyelid. And on the third attempt, with the cataract, one thing that I heard Randy speak out was give him a message of hope. And my message of hope is what Jesus did for me in 2015. So I was able to speak out what he'd done to me. And on the third time of praying, he was totally healed, his eye. On the third eye, was a word of knowledge. And he'd been doing sovereign healings from the stage. So that is when they just speak out and they preach, and people all over the church are getting healed. And I just said, still blind in the right eye. And I said it was optical nerve damage, girl of around about from my teens. So that was a risk for me, but that's what I was feeling. And she came forward. She'd been blind in the right eye as a teenager, optical nerve damage, totally severed. I prayed, and I just saw this massive smile come on her face. Now, you know when the Brazilians are healed, because you can just tell. And every word of knowledge was spot on. What else did I do? I went on the beach and preached the gospel. Yeah. Get in with an interpreter. I've never done that. But that's what God's placed on me, to preach the gospel, to heal the sick. And I did that. And then there was another occasion. And this reminded me of my wife, because she didn't have a father figure. You know, he's been a terrible dad in her life. And they preached a message. And you got all the people coming forward that didn't have father figures in their lives. And I remember these two lads by the stage, and everybody that poured forward, I've had hopeless dads, Brazilian lads, and these two lads, God led me to them. And I didn't have to say out to them, I just put my hands on their shoulders, and God hit them, because I just laid them all both out in the spirit. And then God led me to somebody over on the right, and there was this lad, and he was sobbing, he was on his knees. And I just waited with him a bit. I got on my knees at the side of him and I thought, this guy's really, really hurting. And he'd lost his dad when he was a teenager. And I just felt Holy Spirit say to me, you know, tell him that you're his dad, even if it's just for today, you're his spiritual father. And so I just said to the interpreter, you need to tell him. You need to tell him that he's a son of the King and he's loved. And I said, you need to keep speaking that into his life. And the moment she kept doing that, he just grabbed hold of him and he's hugging onto me, you know, saying, pai, pai, which means father in Portuguese. And I thought, wow, you know. So them's just the things that stood out, you know, creative miracles, preaching the gospel, just doing all these amazing things. Every where the knowledge I got was spot on. Pains in the stomach. A woman came to me with pain from a gastric band. She had a pain of 10. It went down to zero. You know, just amazing things. Two metal miracles. He couldn't move his hand. And he wanted, and after I'd prayed, he was able to move his fingers. He was like that. And then there was another one, a motorcycle accident. He couldn't hardly move his hand. He was like that. So you know that these are healings. So just amazing things. And the sun was hot.
Yeah, well, yeah, you have to suffer in your ministry, I guess. Isn't that amazing? That God is doing these powerful things. And yes, the miracles are brilliant, but I was really encouraged by what Gary's saying about speaking out. That's the first step. He's having the boldness not only to think, oh, I feel this, but actually speak it out into reality. So let's do that this morning. Let's speak out. Not basing on us, but on Him. Trusting that the words that we receive, the feelings that we may just have this morning, might just bless someone. It might be a miracle just waiting to be released into the atmosphere this morning. So, worship band. Look at them jump to it with excitement and gusto. And hear some of the stories of Christmas time about the great news of Jesus coming to the earth. But it may just feel like you're just putting on repeat. Sometimes it's good just to stop and not just do it for the sake of doing it, but doing it because we want to receive something new. And this is how I found myself when I was looking at this passage here. Because a lot of us have heard the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Put your hands up if you haven't, excluding what I've just read. We've all heard it, haven't we? Even those that don't believe will make reference to it, won't they? You know, the little joke, oh, I hope we've got enough food to go around. Maybe we best pray over it. Or, has anyone got a few pieces of bread? Jesus did it. Let's see what we can do with it. You know, people can use it. It's just almost as a passing comment. And I must admit, when I sat down to read this, it was like, I know this. I know this. I'm familiar with it. But then, after I read it, I thought, no, hang on a minute, Gavin. Hang on a minute. The living God, the light of the world, has come. And as I said a few weeks ago, God isn't silent. He doesn't keep quiet about Jesus. You know, there were stars in the skies, angels appearing, miracles happening. People were getting revelations with dreams and prophecy. Words that are spoken over people like Simeon. Not my Simeon, but the Simeon in the Bible. Who had the word that he will see the Messiah. He would have read the scriptures and known that the whole Old Testament was screaming out about this prophet, this Messiah, this great king who will come and restore Israel, put things right. And I read this and I just kind of read it and said, I know this God. Bit of a smart aleck there. I know this God. Nothing you can tell me. Yeah, he's like, all right then. So I took myself back and I had to humble myself. I had to humble myself and not just think, well, I know it because I'm familiar with it, but reset my kind of spirit. And I read it again. And as I read it, I didn't just try to read it in a place of knowledge, but I tried to read it in a place of experience. What has my experience told me just from this year? It's a time of year for some of us where we do kind of look back and try and think about maybe the plans and hopes that we had for this year. And I hope that you have achieved some. But even if you haven't, nothing has been wasted. Nothing has been wasted because God has been speaking and growing in you and using different experiences to help you mature in Him. Maxine has stepped out this year. Gary stepped out this year. The Sitches stepped out this year. They all experienced something new. Maxine and Teresa, who's not in the room, gathered up shoeboxes and gave them to the homeless. Have you ever done that before? Have you done that before? Did you see that as a plan for this year? You did. So you set something before you and you did it. And you had a great response from that as people joined in with what God had given you to do. And that was great. Now, some of you might have had other plans. I had a grand plan of building a summer house, which I'm still building. Hallelujah. But I have a summer house. You know, and although I built it 3 times and managed to get it up and everything's slightly wonky, I have a summer house, you know, or a wonky house. These are the things. But I don't regret it. Although at the time, I wouldn't have been approachable. You know, it's like, just stay away from the crazy northern man. You know, we get there, don't we? We get there. And when I was reading this story and thinking about Christmas, I try to place my year within the context of this story. And then I started to kind of think, okay, so in this story, which I'm so familiar with, I see insight and knowledge. When Jesus asked the people, Philip, how we're going to feed these, he had the vision of what was already going to happen. He could see, but he wanted to bring people in. The people were there ready to receive. There was a great crowd of people there gathering around, ready to receive something. They didn't know what. There was Philip just looking at the finances and saying, listen, it'll take over 200 pieces of silver to feed these. There was the little boy who was identified, who just had a few bits in his bag. There was Jesus' authority to take a huge group of people and set them into order, into groups of 50. There was the miracle itself that laid itself out in the food of physical bread and fish. There was fullness. There was nothing wasted. And as I started to just unpick this story in them little bits and reflect over the year, I could actually start to see where God has been working in my life by identifying. Because I have had moments in this year, not as many as I'd like, where I have had vision, where I've had the kind of like, I know 100% that God has given me this to do. He's given me a kind of a picture of an insight of what He wants to do. And He shared that with me. And what I've had to do is gather people round and try and say, do you see this? Do you believe that this is from God? Because I believe it is. And invite people to stand with me and with each other to make that happen. We've seen this with Gary and the Sitches. You know, they had a vision of going somewhere, doing something. For Gary, it's been over 3.5 years where you patiently waited. But he had that vision. And he's had to share that vision with others and have insight. Even though he didn't see the miracles yet, he had the vision. Where was your vision this year? Did you have any? Did you gather other people up? Have you expected to see something and you saw it? Over the last month or so, we've had the privilege of welcoming over 500 people into this building through the Getting Ready for Christmas. That was a great afternoon, wasn't it? You know, where we shared food and broke bread and had fun and did karaoke and made some fantastic crafts. We had the pantomime. We had 130 people in. 130 people from the local area. Again, we had a great time. Not just with the pantomime, but they even put up with my bad jokes, which they had to do for half an hour because they arrived an hour early. Last Sunday, over 170 people from the local area in different churches came in. That's part of the vision that I had, that we have as a church. Because we spoke these things out. We thought, yes, this is what God wants us to do. And we've been faithful from that. And we've seen the blessings of it. We've seen the miracle of just having the insight and the vision live itself out before us. You might feel a bit like you've been in a place of just sitting, that God has just placed you somewhere. In this story, we hear that he placed 5,000 people into about groups of 50. He puts order into chaos. You might have started off this year where you just thought, right, I'm just ready to receive a miracle. I'm just going to sit on this grass and this place because that's what I feel God has told me. If you've been sat in that place, then you're in a good place because you're there ready to receive the glory and miracle of Jesus. Or you might just feel like the pieces of bread at the end of the story. You might just feel like you kind of fell out of last year into this year and you didn't really know your place. But you just knew that God at some point was just going to come and gather you up, take you into him, and then redistribute you. Maybe redirect you. I don't know. But I've seen all these things happen in my life this year in different areas where I felt like God has given me vision. And I've seen the miracle of that vision coming true. I've managed to share what God has given me with others, and others do the same, and we kind of build this holy mess together and see God's goodness come through. It was great to see some baptisms this year. That's always a highlight. But I do thirst for more. And not because I think it's greedy. I think it's right to keep our eyes set on sharing the miracle that we've received this year. But to be honest, my year has been a year of brokenness where I've just spent myself. I've exhausted the resources that I've had, and I've had to rely on God and others to help me and gather me up, just like the little pieces of bread after the miracle. Even when things have gone good, I felt times of attack and downness, and I've had to work through that. But thank God I haven't done it alone. I've done it with you guys, but also I've done it through his love for me. I could just get caught up with the miracles of this story. I could just focus my year based on what was good, but I don't really feel that's doing justice to God, because I know through all things, through the good and the bad, his goodness always shines through. And I do feel better for it. All right, I'm tired, but that's not based on God's goodness. That's me, based on me learning how to use my time better. And next year, I do expect to go through this process again. that there will be times where I'll need to sit down. I need God just to say, sit there. I'm just going to bring the blessing to you. There's going to be times next year where I'm going to be full of vision and hope, and I'm going to try and encourage as many people to share in that and make that come a reality. There's going to be times where I'm going to be turning to God and saying, with the resources I've got, I can't see. I can't see. I need you to guide me. Whether that's looking at the finances or resources of money or people, or, you know, how am I going to do this, God? There's going to be challenges next year. And there is going to be times where I just feel like the miracle's happening. I'm just scattered. And I'm just going to have to be patient and wait for God to come and gather me up and redistribute me, build me up. I expect a lot of myself and expect so little from God that I need to change my thinking. And I think a few more of us need to hear that this morning. That we expect so much of ourselves that we push God out of the picture. And then we wonder why the only time we feel God is in the time of brokenness. Let's try and change our perspectives. Let's not just get familiar with our own lives. Let's not just get familiar with the Word of God. Let's try and place ourselves right in the middle of it and say, God, you will and always do a new thing. Let me see myself in the words. Let me not just say, I've read it, I know it, and I can preach it. Let's live it. Let's live from it. This is the food, the living water that it says earlier on in John chapter 4. The living water. He goes on to say, I am the bread of life. For the rest of John chapter 6, he goes on about the bread, that if you eat with me, you won't hunger. If you seek me, you won't thirst. The themes running through this are so strong. The pictures are so powerful. But familiarity can just think, you just look over it. So let's not go into next year just feeling familiar. Like, here we go again. Here we go again. January. Back to work. Same old, same old. Let's maybe challenge ourselves and say, no, I'm not just going to accept this is just another year. It's just going to be the same as this year and the year before that. That actually new things are going to be happening. That I'm going to receive miracles. I am going to get the visions. I am going to grow. I'm going to see people being saved. I'm going to see my own personal life grow and prosper. That my family will not only know the Lord, but grow in the Lord. Whether that's immediate family or the family around us. There's so much more I believe God wants to do. And I think we're doing really well in a lot of areas. So well done. You did it. You might be times of the year where you thought, I'm not going to get to the end. I'm just going to fall off and fall into 2020. No. No, my friends. You haven't fallen at all. Because God has been with you all the time and he's caught you. Because if he catches me, and I am the biggest flip-flop in the room, then you guys are doing all right. I just want to bless you and say, don't be over familiar with this time. Allow your mind to wander over the year, which has just passed, and just ask God to speak the stories and the words that we know so well and bring them back to life. Let us claim the glory of God for ourselves and for him. And for 2020. Next year we're going to be starting looking at some new opportunities for us to reach out and grow. we're going to be bobbing people. Now, one or two of you may know what I'm talking about. The rest is, I haven't got a clue. It's fine. Just remember Bob, okay? What, Bob. We're going to be bobbing people. We're going to be looking at our anointing as a church, as individuals, but also as a group. The things that God has placed within you, I want to encourage us to draw them out. And not just for ourselves, but for each other. To start to really identify where our strengths and weaknesses are so we can better serve this community. And not just trying to do it in our strength, but doing it in His. That's what anointing is. He anoints us to do certain things. And we spend 99% of the time doing the stuff that we shouldn't, rather than stuff that we should. And I'm saying this to myself as well as to all of us. These are the things that I'm getting excited about. And I believe that if we do just a two or three things really well, that everything that we have received through words of prophecy and knowledge and vision, we will start to see more of. We're also going to be hearing more from Gary next year as he really unpacks not just the miracles, but some of the conversations he had and his own personal journey to help charge us up again. And listen, yes, we've heard about Gary's 8 days of receiving the miracles, and we want to continue to celebrate that. But it's not just about the 8 days. It's been about 4, 5, 6 years in the making, you know, and being patient in that, in allowing God to work through those times. I truly do believe in Jesus. I truly believe that He is the light of the world. Lots of doubts about lots of things, but one thing I know is that He is alive, that He came to save wretches like me and beautiful people like you. I don't want to call you a wretch. It's a bit unfair. I believe that He has got so much for everyone here that I can't possibly do it all in the limited time that I have here in Buttershaw. I'm not saying I'm leaving next year or anything, but it is only a limited time compared to what God is going to do with you for the rest of your life. I and others will just play small, significant roles in helping you guide that. But I want to further that next year. I want to kind of see if we can accelerate ourselves and really set ourselves up to seeing His glory fall in Buttershaw and in our personal lives. Who's up for that? Good. Then you're in the right place. Let me just pray a blessing. And let's then receive the blessing of caffeine, which I am in need of. So God, we humble ourselves before You, God. We come before You, and although I just shared a very simple message, the truth and power of what You do is no less significant. And Lord, help us to have the insight to see where we are at this moment. Let us have the humility to say, yeah, this is where I'm at, God. I'm ready just to receive the miracle of Jesus, the light of the world. Lord, I pray that this Christmas time, as we spend with family and friends and breaking bread and eating too much turkey, Lord, will be a real time of blessing, but also a time of just resetting our feet so we're ready to stand firm in the knowledge that Jesus is the light of the world, that He has come to save, and we are counted as part of one of those that have been saved. But also set our feet ready to stand on new ground where we will have to speak out, where we have to be in a place of rest or unknown, just ready to receive the orders from the King or the miracle that you have set before us. And if we feel broken, Lord, there's nothing wrong with that, because you gather everything up, even our brokenness. If there's brokenness that we feel we've just been carrying around for far too long, Lord, let us, through your power, just submit that to you. To say, here, God, you gather it all up. And just use each one of us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Hopefully I'll see you on Christmas Day. Please. Please come. It'll be only a short time. But it'd be really good just to mark the day for what it is the day we choose to celebrate the goodness of our God coming into our, not just the world, but our lives. If you would like any specific prayer, I would encourage you to come sit here and then we can go into the sanctuary. Someone come pray for you. But if not, do stick around. Listen to the fabulous tunes that Dave's going to put on. Have a cup of tea and have a great week. Bless you.